Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing, available 24/7 at backgroundbriefing.org. And joining us now is Harry Litman, a former United States attorney appointed by President Bill Clinton and the Deputy Assistant Attorney General of the United States, who currently teaches at the UCLA Law School and practices law at Constantine Cannon. Welcome to Background Briefing, Harry Litman.
Thank you, Ian. Good to be here.
Well, thank you, Harry. And it does seem that since you spent a lot of time in the Justice Department, I'd like to get your take on what it must be like being on the inside and being called by the President of the United States, Deep State Justice Department. Let me just read the tweet, most of the tweet that he came out with today. Crooked Hillary Clinton's top aide, Huma Abedin, has been accused of disregarding basic security protocols. And he goes on to talk about this nonsense that the Daily Caller ginned up. Jail for her. Deep State Justice Department must finally act, also on Comey and others. So I think it's pretty clear that this war against the Justice Department from the White House is going to escalate, that he's basically Trump's trying to purge the place, isn't he?
Well, is he trying to purge or is he just trying to change the subject? It's hard to say, but either way, it's stunning. You asked what it's like, and it's a little hard to say because while I was in the Justice Department for many years, never experienced anything remotely like this. I have spoken to people in the Justice Department, and I can report it's genuinely demoralizing when your commander-in-chief is savaging you in this way. They justifiably think of themselves as being professional servants who follow the law and the evidence and serve the country, and they're always described that way by attorneys general and presidents of both parties. And now for Trump to throw these bombs with no response, mind you, from Jeff Sessions or anybody at the department, I think for the at best they sort of roll their eyes, but at worst they're deeply disturbed. This is the main thing that these people have going for them is their sense of mission and duty and doing the right thing. They could make much more in private practice, and to actually be pummeled in this way by the President of the United States, it's grotesque.
But you have to add to the fact that he's also waging a war against the FBI. And there's, I think, even more evidence that the intention is some kind of purge. And it's predicated upon an absurd idea that the FBI, and I guess by extension the Justice Department, is a part of the deep state, but is also political. In other words, they're partisan. Somehow they're a bunch of Democratic hacks. I mean, my understanding is if you polled the Justice Department and the FBI, you'd probably find that the majority of, certainly of the FBI agents, probably Republican, but they have First Amendment rights. I mean, they're allowed to express their opinions. I mean, the guy that they've been sliming on Fox News, Strosek, the FBI guy, he was an equal opportunity political skeptic. He didn't like any of them, Hillary, Trump, Bernie Sanders, Martin O'Malley.
Yeah,
the whole.
That's right.
Let
me speak to the idea first. It's certainly right. It's just happenstance that we have his emails with a lover that the Inspector General passed to the Congress and then the Department improperly. It's acknowledged improperly released to the public. There's no doubt. It's 100% for anyone who's worked regularly with the FBI. That if you were doing a deep investigation, you would find that there was much more antagonism and sort of snarkiness directed toward Hillary Clinton than toward Trump. But it's all beside the point. The protection against that interfering with the cause of justice is A, the integrity of the agents and prosecutors, and B, the supervision by people above them. And of course, in this case, as soon as Mueller found out about the problematic emails, he fired Strzok that very day. So, you know, in fact, it's an illustration of things working to be sure that there's no possible taint. But then what about this idea, Ian? This, you know, this is a new term from the President of the United States, deep state. I'm not sure what it means to him, but it certainly conjures up images of, you know, Iron Curtain, abusive, deeply politicized intelligence agencies. It's a remarkable thing to hear from the President of the United States as about his own Justice Department. And I don't know if there's a purge afoot. My best guess is no, and this is all about trying to change the subject with respect to the Mueller probe, and to the extent he can, and I think it's limited, dirty up Comey, who's, it's going to be a straightforward credibility battle between him and Comey when it comes time to present obstruction charges, and I don't think he has much chance of, he, Trump, has much chance of prevailing. But there's a current of thought around now that says, you know, look, most people just sort of ignore this, and the main institutions have bent but not broken. I'm a little less sanguine. I think this really is having, you know, an effect on the level of discourse in the country, on what's conceivable. Each day brings more kind of astonishing behavior outside the bounds of all norms by the President of the United States. And it's, I think, very difficult and challenging time to be a professional prosecutor at the Department of Justice or an agent at the FBI, which has been seen as the premier law enforcement agency in the world.
Well, he actually talked about the deep state Justice Department, and this has prompted the former acting attorney general, Sally Yates, to say, I have the absolute right to do what, quoting Trump, POTUS on 12/28 said, I have the absolute right to do what I want with the Justice Department. Today, he slanders career DOJ professionals as deep state, calls for prison for a political opponent, and tries to sic DOJ on a potential witness against him. Beyond abnormal, dangerous. Now, I must say...
Yeah, where to start?
Yeah.
You know, he's acting like this is the kind of behavior you have. It seems like almost the kind of regime he envisions is the one that ends with his, you know, being guillotined in the public square. This is total banana republic stuff, and completely unhinged and unthought out. You know, there's a law school exam question in there somewhere about just what the extent of his powers are with the Department of Justice, but the legal limit of his authority is so secondary to the nearly indescribable violation of norms and anything you'd expect from a leader of the of law enforcement in this country. So I agree with Yates that it's dangerous, not because, again, I don't think a true purge of the 100,000 employees in the Justice Department is in the offing, but just the there's still a pretty big slice of the electorate, a third or so, who really support him, and you have to imagine that among them, the kinds of attitudes about law enforcement that have heretofore been reserved for the most marginal, almost homegrown terrorists are now going to spread, and a deep cynicism will take, you know, could take hold among them, and more generally about their own, the people who are sworn to protect their rights and do, let me make clear, go to work every day to do exactly that. And will that be, you know, erased when Trump leaves? I don't know. He has coarsened things in a way that might not be remediable in the short term. It's a really trying situation from a policy perspective.
Well, the drumbeat from Fox, though, has been relentless and vicious.
Yeah.
And one of the more outrageous Fox accusers of Mueller, who everybody spoke of so highly, and then suddenly now she's sliming him and calling him all kinds of names. It turns out, of course, her husband was nailed by the FBI and she has a, you know, a personal vendetta against them. And I wonder whether there is something to this idea that what Trump is exhibiting is not the behavior of an innocent man who's wrongly accused, but rather the behavior of a guilty man who's striking out at his accusers.
Yeah, there's a lot of I've had these kinds of conversations with folks about, you know, how guilty defendants act, and whether, you know, that the five different ways that Trump's behavior accords with it. Look, here's the biggest thing. There's no doubt in the world that he you know, gets up at 5 o'clock and tries to change the subject. Anything to undermine the probe or just change the subject on the, you know, this tweet beyond the deep state idea was, you know, to try to actually focus on a prosecution of Comey and Hume. By the way, among other things, in terms of violation of norms, for the President of the United States to be calling for the prosecution of anybody, however meritorious, unprofessional isn't even the word. It's in itself stunning. But I think that if there's a strategy here, it's always a question whether he acts with strategy in mind or not. If there is a strategy, I think you have to think about how will this play to his base, which is all he seems to care about, and maybe with good reason. Will it, in general, engender an argument for why the charges that Mueller will bring are not, I mean, meritorious isn't the right word, because obviously they're not talking about the merits of the charges against him, but whether it will give a talking point to Fox News and their confreres in the broader public for why the charges are politically motivated or should be dropped, you know, something of that nature. That's where I think he's trying to go.
Well, just in closing, though, Harry Litman, I find it deeply ironic that Trump could be and Fox could be trying to gin up this idea of partisanship and that somehow the FBI are a bunch of closet liberals,
yeah,
when in fact they're deeply apolitical. In fact, the whole Comey thing that happened just before the election is, I think, a reflection of Comey's sort of rigid apolitical attitude. You know, he's so politically tone deaf because what he did obviously had political ramifications. But I think it's an expression of how incredibly neutral these people are. They don't, I think in many ways, they see themselves as above the political fray. And if anything, think politicians are a rather sleazy bunch, which is not entirely untrue. I mean, how do you see it? Because I think that's at the heart of it. If Trump can make a case that somehow Comey is partisan, when in fact Comey, because of his nonpartisanship, his zealous nonpartisanship, actually helped elect Trump, for God's sake, the whole thing is Alice in Wonderland.
Alice in Wonderland is a very good analogy here. Everything is upside down. How do I see it? You and I, Ian, could have a much longer discussion about just how down the middle Comey is. I thought, in fact, he, not for partisan reasons, but for reasons having to do with his own view of his own role, put his thumb on the scale a little bit against Clinton and therefore in favor of Trump. But the notion that decisions could be made there, and of course they would have to then go to the Justice Department to be ratified on the basis of political consideration, is just anathema. Everything in the DNA of an agent and a prosecutor would balk at that. And it's Alice in Wonderland also for the, you know, construction of a completely fictitious universe that people with sophistication around, you know, law enforcement on any side of the aisle know is completely insane. Trump perhaps knows it himself, but he's indifferent to it. The idea is, you know, what can you do to sort of gin things up among his base and distract from the charges that seem to be coming at him like a freight train?
Well, Harry Litman, I thank you very much for joining us here today.
Thank you. Thanks for your time. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And again, I've been speaking with Harry Litman, who's a former United States attorney and deputy assistant attorney general in the Justice Department, who currently teaches at UCLA Law School and practices law at Constantine Cannon. We're going to take a brief station break. We'll be back looking into whether North Korea's Kim Jong-un can successfully drive a wedge between the U.S. and South Korea.